Well, we're going to start out in 1 Samuel chapter 16 in your Bibles. 1 Samuel 16, from there we're going to go to Proverbs. Very simple Bible study tonight, real simple. And I won't do much teaching, we're going to let the Bible teach. We're going to see what the Bible says about some things, and hopefully it'll prick our hearts, perhaps, or steer us, or correct us, or whatever the need may be. A very unusual study sheet that I gave you. There's a lot of blanks there, but all those ones that say Proverbs, those are places to fill in the chapter and verse. And we might add something after that. I didn't want to put too much on there. Kind of gives away what it is we're looking for. So hopefully you can write some of that. Anyone need a pen, by the way? Sometimes we don't have pens. We've got plenty of pens to get you if you need one. All right, so let's start out in 1 Samuel chapter 16. We'll look at just one verse. Actually, we'll start in verse 6. The Bible says, "And it came to pass, when they were come, that he looked on Eliab and said," this is, by the way, this is the background of the story, is when Samuel had Jesse's sons parading in front of him. They were trying to choose the next king. And so here comes Eliab, who it's his turn to pass by Samuel. And so he looked on Eliab and said, "Surely the Lord's anointed is before him." He's saying, man, this has got to be the one. Look at him. What a fine specimen of a man. What a good leader he could be. Boy, look at him. But here's what the Lord said in verse 7. "But the Lord said unto Samuel," Samuel was the prophet, or the priest, "look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him." God says, no, he's not the one. You may think he's the one, but he's not the one. You see, you're looking at how good he looks. God said, you're looking to see, check out his stature. He's a tall man. Look, tall man, broad shoulders. Look at him. He's got a V cut. He's got a six pack. And you're looking on the countenance. He said, but he's not the one. And here's what God said. "I've refused him, for the Lord seeth not as man seeth." And boy, isn't that true? We just don't see things the way God does. And we need to, that's why we've got to be in God's Word. Because the more I read His Word, the more I learn how God thinks. And I need to think like He thinks. Now, His ways are higher than my ways. His thoughts are higher than my thoughts. But I do know that as I read and study Scripture, I can begin to develop, as Philippians calls it, the mind of Christ. Amen? And that's what we need. Why? Because we don't see things the way God sees it, but we need to see things the way God sees it. So God tells Samuel, no, sir, I refuse him. He's not the one. He's not the one you think. And you're looking on the countenance and his stature. But God said, look, let me go back to the verse here. You look on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on what? On the heart. The Lord looketh on the heart. Now, what God was telling Samuel here was basically this. Samuel, I'm not looking for the tallest guy in Israel. I'm not looking for the strongest guy in Israel. I'm not looking for the guy who can bench press the most, who may have leadership qualities, etc., etc. I'm looking for a man that has character. Character. And so the lesson tonight is on character. We're going to take a character test from the life, or from the book of Proverbs. That's why you see all those Proverbs lists on your sheet there. Character. You see, character is what defines you. Amen? Your character, it's what defines you. It's what people see in you. By the way, that's your first line on your sheet there. Character is what defines you. It's what people see in you. Not about you, not your stature, not your height, but in you. Who are you really? Inside that flesh and bone body of yours, who are you? Some have described character as this: it's what you do and who you are when no one's looking. My friend, character is probably, your character is one of the most important things that you possess. Now listen to this. Jesus, our Savior, our God, is very concerned about your character. He wants it to be right. He wants you to have a good character. Proverbs tells us that a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. That's part of character. Having good, right character, who you really are, as we said, perhaps who you are when no one's looking. It's easy to have good character when everyone's watching. But what do you do in secret? What do you do when the church folk aren't around? How do you behave yourself when no one's watching? That's all part of your character, but it goes much beyond that as well, of course. But those are some things we must consider. Character is what people will say about you after you pass away. Can they have good things to say? Or, oh, he was a nice guy. Well, I hope they say more about me than just he was a nice guy. I want my character to leave a mark. And you ought to too. So yes, our character is one of the most important things that we can possess. God is concerned about our character, and he wants us to develop it. Now, recently someone said these words to me. Well, that's just who I am. I can't change. Wrong answer. Listen, folk, God wants you to change. He said in Romans 12:2 to be transformed. That's metamorphized, or how do you say that word? Transformed by the renewing of our mind. Now, you know, your personality, you are who you are, I suppose. Personalities are developed young, and usually, I guess, they stay pretty much the same, but there's nothing wrong with keeping your personality. That's unique. The preacher talked about on Sunday about how each of us are unique. No one is just like we are as individuals. And so our personality is great, whatever your personality is. It could be jovial, it could be funny, it could be dry sense of humor, you know, whatever it is. Your personality is great, but your character and your actions and your deportment and your speech and so much of what makes up our being, God wants it to develop and change as we mature in the Christian life and grow in the Christian life. Look, if we just get saved and stay the same the rest of our life, there's a problem with that. We must develop and grow and conform as God directs us and as we learn things. So very important. So character is what people will say about you after you pass away. It's one of the most important things you have. And here's the question. How are you investing in your character tonight? What are you doing to invest or to develop or to fine-tune or to tweak your own character? And hopefully through the lesson tonight, we'll see some things that might help us do exactly that. Do people see your faith in what you do? That's part of your character. Do they see your faith in all or what you do? How important that is. Is your character reflected in how you serve the kingdom of God? And so these are some important questions we must consider. And we're going to go to Proverbs now. So in Proverbs, the book of Proverbs, chapter 1, we're going to find some types of people listed there. And your next line there, the second line on your outline is this. In the book of Proverbs, there are four types of people listed and are repeatedly mentioned throughout the book. Now, this may not be new to you. In fact, it probably isn't, but it's good to look at it again. I know Preacher did a series on Proverbs some time ago, and so you may have heard some of this or all of it. But it's good to see this, and not only that, there are new folk in the church that may not have heard it. So, it's amen. It's always, look, it doesn't bother me one iota to hear stuff over and over again. Because I need it. I need reminders. I need to hear it again. And so I never get tired of hearing the truths of the Bible. In this chapter, we see four, the same four people mentioned all throughout the book of Proverbs. And what we want to try to do here tonight is let the Word of God examine our character. You hear me? Let the Word of God examine our character to see which, if not all, these characteristics match us in any one way or another. And if they do, obviously three are negative, one's positive. But if they do, any of those negative ones impact us or we see them in our lives, then we want to do what? We want to make correction, if at all possible, so that our character can be heading in the right direction as to where God would have us to go. So with that in mind, let's go ahead and go to Proverbs chapter 1. We'll see all four of these people listed right here in chapter 1. We won't read the whole chapter to save time, but we'll read several verses. We'll read the verses that pertain as we go through here. So, number one on your sheet, the first person we will see is the simple. The simple. And you'll see this person mentioned in verse 4. Now you might want to put after that line there, the first person is simple, you might put verse 4. So when you, if you look at this another time, some other time at home, you can remember where that was, but it's in verse 4. The Bible says in verse 4, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man, knowledge and discretion. He's mentioned over and over again throughout the Bible, but that's the first mention. This person we call the simple one. This person is weak in intellect, is your next line there. This person is not wise. This person is not does not have a keen discernment. We spoke about discernment recently, but to have the ability to rightly judge, I don't mean judgment like I'm judging you. I mean judge as in discerning. This simple one doesn't have keen discernment. And he can even be, or he or she, I should say, could even be silly. And they're very simple. And so I want us to now look at some verses that will help us with that. And that's what those four blanks are. So your first one is, you're going to write down 9:13. Proverbs 9:13. And then we'll turn there and see what it says. So as you can see, the Bible's going to do most of the teaching. I'll just comment a little bit here and there. But Proverbs chapter 9. And this list isn't exhaustive. It's just four places. There's many more, but we just pulled out four to look at and to keep the message moving and not be here too late. Proverbs 9:13, the Bible says, a foolish woman is clamorous. She is what? Simple. Get what it says next. And knoweth nothing. Now that doesn't mean she didn't go to school. It just means as I said already, she doesn't have that discernment. She doesn't know. She could be easily fooled. This simple one can be easily tricked. Perhaps, maybe I'm going out a little bit on a limb here, but perhaps Eve was simple. That Satan so easily beguiled her. But this person is weak in intellect. They're not wise. They don't have keen discernment. And here it says, she knoweth nothing. Look at chapter. Now the next one you're going to put down, 14:15. 14:15. Here's another good description. I kind of alluded to it already. But it says here in chapter 14, verse 15, the simple, get this, believeth every word. Now as we read that, you may have someone come to your mind. I know someone like that. They'll believe anything you tell them. Just so easily and quickly. And perhaps they're simple. Now listen, simple's not a bad thing necessarily. And I'll explain that here in a little while. But I said earlier that three negative, not necessarily negative, but there's one of the four that we really want to be. But simple just believes anything. Believe anything you read. Believe anything you see. On the television, that is. Anything you could just so easily trick them and tell them something, just believe it. Believe everything. And that's a trait of simple. The question is tonight, are you that way? Can someone tell you something and you just believe it? Do you use your intellect to discern or to prove what they're telling you? And that takes wisdom from God. But the simple lack in that area. Look at verse 18, same chapter. That's your next blank there. Proverbs 14, 18. I find this to be interesting. Verse 18 says, "The simple inherit folly." Folly meaning foolishness. The word inherit. Now, the simple, they inherit this folly. We think about the word inherit, we think about an inheritance. If my grandparents or my parents passed on and they left me an inheritance, or they left you an inheritance, preacher, they left you $1 million inheritance, amen. it's passed down, right, or it's passed along. And so oftentimes the simple, this foolishness or this folly comes natural to them. It's almost hereditary. It's inherited. And what you'll find many times that if you look at their family, you'll see that it's, oh, their parents were simple and their parents were simple. And it's kind of an inherited trait. If we go far enough, it could go right back to our first parents, Adam and Eve. But yeah, so simple. And one more, Proverbs 22:3. Proverbs 22:3. There's actually two here you're going to put on the same line. The other one is 27:12. They mean basically the same thing, so put them on the same line. 22:3 and 27:12. So let's look at 22:3 first. Proverbs 22, verse 3. "A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but," watch now, "the simple pass on and are punished." The simple pass on and are punished. The simple see evil, and rather than running like the prudent man did, they run right for it. And a lot of times just out of ignorance, but they go toward it instead of away from it. That's what a simple person does. And so let's look at 27:12, and then we'll wrap up this part of the lesson. 27:12 now says, really it's the same repeat of that same verse, "A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on." They continue on toward it, and because they do, they're punished. Or they experience the consequence of the evil that they ran towards rather than turning and running away from it. So that's the simple. The first person we see described in the book of Proverbs, and we didn't see all the references. There's many others. But this simple person could be their weakened intellect. They could be ignorant. A brand new baby Christian might be simple in some ways. And they need to learn, they need to grow, they need to learn Scripture, they need to hear the preaching, and that's what will help them, what will change them. So in case you didn't jot the notes down after the references, let me just say here for you again, you have that Proverbs 9:13, "A foolish woman is clamorous." You might just put the word clamorous there. Proverbs 14:15, "They believe every word." Believe every word. Of course, you could look those up and see those descriptions, but Proverbs 14:18, "Inherit folly." They inherit folly. And then 22:3, "They run towards the evil," I guess you could say. They run towards the evil. And sometimes, I mean, that's hard to explain, but sometimes it's not because they want to go do the evil. It's more of a, oh, what's that? Hey, what's that all about? And they're going to go check it out. A wise preacher said many years ago, and I heard him say this, he said, "Christians ought to be ignorant of evil." And concerning evil, You know, like, I'll just use an example. Okay, let's say I never knew what rock music was, but I heard preaching about it. And I said, that's interesting. I've never heard that before. I better go home and check it out. And so I go home and tune in a rock station and listen to it for a while to see, that's what that's about. No, I don't need to know what it's about. If I hear someone preaching against liquor, I don't have to go taste it to figure out, what's it taste like? No, I want to be ignorant concerning evil. And so I don't need to run to it. And sometimes, though, the simple, they're not trying to get involved in sin on purpose necessarily, but they run to it out of a curiosity or a weak intellect to just say, hey, that's... Because the prudent man, the cunning prudent man, foresees the evil and he hides himself. He goes the other way. He stays clear of it. That's prudence. But the simple one, they go towards it. All right, that's enough of that. Second one. So number two. So what we need to, as we go through these now, you need to say, does any of that apply to me? Am I the kind of person that believes every word? Or do I discern, weigh it out, check it out? For sure, compare it to Scripture. Am I clamorous? Am I loud? Do I not know anything? Am I prone to folly? Perhaps I've inherited some of that. And so those are the questions we must ask ourselves. All right, second person. Second person mentioned in Proverbs is the fool. The fool. Now this is one that's not so good, for sure. Being simple, we can fix that. Being fool... I'll just leave it there. Fool. The fool is one who is destitute of reason. That's your blanks there. This person is destitute of reason. Now, again, somebody might pop in your mind. Oh, I know somebody like that. You just can't reason with that individual. Why? Because they think they know it all already. They think they're a know-it-all. And you can try to sit down and reason with them, regardless of what it is. It might be Bible or it might just be some other topic. But you just can't reason with them. Why? Because they already know all the answers, so they think. And you just can't reason with them. They're totally destitute of reasoning. They don't have the common power of understanding. They act absurdly. And in Scripture, this fool is one who follows his own inclinations. And he prefers prefers trifle things. He'd rather trifle and make big deal out of little deals. And he would prefer temporary pleasure over service to God. That's kind of the fool. There's much more we could say about that, but again, we just have to keep it. We have to limit how much we say because we'll be here all night. So let's, with this person in mind, let's look at some Proverbs here about that and see if we can get our eyes opened. First one on your list is going to be Proverbs 1:7. So write down 1:7, then go there. we're going to look at verse 7, of course, yeah. Here we go. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Amen? Amen. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Tell that to the university professor who thinks he knows everything. Hey, you don't know anything until you understand the fear of the Lord, because that, my friend, is the beginning of all knowledge. That's not the message. The second part is what we want to see. It says, but fools, there's our guy, fools despise wisdom and instruction. Ouch. The Bible's clear, they despise wisdom and instruction. So if you want to jot that down after the reference there, despises wisdom. You might just could put that much. And that's self-explanatory. That's what Scripture says. Let's go to the next one's 10:8. Proverbs 10, verse 8. And then turn there. Proverbs 10, verse 8, we're going to see a contrast here. It says, the wise in heart, what do they do? Will receive commandments. Here's the contrast. But a prating fool shall fall. And the understanding there is this, that this wise individual, he will receive commandments, but the fool won't. And therefore, he'll fall and crash. So he will not, on your list you might write this, he will not receive commandments. He will not receive commandments. And again, that follows along to what I said earlier. He's one of destitute of reason. If we wanted to talk about commandments, he's not going to reason with you. It's not going to be reasonable because he already has it all figured out. All right, same chapter, verse 18. That's your next blank. 10:18. 10:18. Here it says, he that hideth hatred with lying lips, and he that uttereth a slander is a fool. So on your sheet you can put, he utters slanders. Do we all understand what a slander is? That's saying something nasty about somebody and putting them down, slandering their name, slandering their character, slandering their person. And that's what a fool can so easily do. Now again, hey, let me take a little side trail here for a second. Sometimes the main contrast in Proverbs is between the fool and the wise person. And that's probably the biggest comparison in the book. Sometimes we mistakenly make this assumption because we're saved and we're born again, we're automatically wise. That's a bad assumption. Because even though I'm saved, my friend, I can act like a fool. Believe me, I've seen, perhaps I have, I'm sure I have, and I've certainly seen plenty of Christians who act foolish. And so that's a bad assumption. Sometimes folks say, well, in the Bible, the wise, in Proverbs, the wise are the saved, would be like saved people, and the foolish are like the unsaved. And in a real broad general sense, that might be okay, but boy, no, I don't think that's a good application, because a saved individual can take on the traits of a foolish person, and often we do, and that's where the rub is, and we need to make that correction if that's true tonight. Listen, my friend, are you a slanderer? Do you slander people? Do you talk about people? Okay, we can, I don't know, under slander, we might just squeeze in gossip and criticism and a couple other things that might just fit under the category of slander, because it all takes place and we hurt people with our words. Slander. Hurting someone's reputation, speaking against their character, or just general degradation of their name or how they're acting or whatever, and you might think they deserve it, but that's no excuse for you to talk against people like that and slander. That is a trait of a fool. Can you say amen? Amen. Amen. So don't do it. Now, if you're wiggling right now and the Holy Spirit's pushing your buttons, then you just need to say, I need to fix that tonight. Just stop it. Just stop it. It's not a good trait. Slander. The Apostle Paul can tell us a lot about it. We don't have time to go there, but certainly Scripture would speak against slander, and it's a trait of a fool. Well, let's move on. Next one on your list is going to be 12:15. 12:15. So let's go there. We're talking about a fool here. We know that, boy, Psalm, I can't think of the reference, but it says that, let's see here, how's that go? The fool hath said in his heart, what's he say? There is no God. Boy, that's the ultimate one, isn't it? There is no God. That's a fool for you. We're not seeing that one tonight because we're in Proverbs, not Psalms, but that's a good one too. Anyway, 12:15, here we go. Wow. The way of a fool, watch it, is right in his own eyes. But he that heareth unto counsel is wise. A fool, you might jot that down, he's right in his own eyes. Boy, Again, you might be thinking of somebody. It doesn't matter. You can, you know, it's interesting when you show people scripture and they just want to argue with you. First of all, they've not read the Bible one time. And I don't claim to be a Bible scholar, but I'm pretty familiar with my Bible. I've read it a lot of times. Lots of times. From cover to cover, many times. That doesn't make me a Bible scholar, but I know a little bit about it. And you talk to someone who hasn't read one word, and all of a sudden they're the expert. And regardless of what you say, they're right in their own eyes. And again, it could be off the topic of Bible. It might be some other. It might be something at work. Someone who they just think they're right in their own eyes. That is a fool. They're not open to instruction. They're not open to be taught. They're not teachable. Why? Because they're right. They can't be wrong. They're right in their own eyes. They're right. And that is a fool. If you ever find yourself acting like that, fix it. We need to correct that. That's not a good trait. We need to be teachable, and we need to be students of the Word. We need to be learning, etc. And again, I don't want to get off topic, but that this person is right in his own eyes. One more. Next one is 13:19. 13:19. Are you keeping up with me okay? Amen?
Amen.
All righty. 13:19. Here it says, the desire accomplished is sweet to the soul. Boy, it's talking about a goal maybe, right? You ever set out, have a goal, and then accomplish it? Boy, that feels good, doesn't it? It says it's sweet to the soul. Let's finish, though, because we're not talking about that. But it is abomination to fools to depart from evil. Wow. They won't depart from evil. You can jot down there. They won't or don't depart from evil. Well, that says a lot, doesn't it? I'm not even going to say anything because that says it all. They won't depart from evil. It wouldn't matter because they're right in their own eyes. It wouldn't matter what you told them about the danger of smoking or the dangers of driving on the highway intoxicated because little young families with little children in the car might get killed. You could talk to them about drugs, whatever it is you want to talk about. They think they understand it. They think they have a grip on it. They think they're right in their own eyes. They think they can handle it. And you can't tell them anything, and they will not depart from their evil. Why? Because they are fools. And we must not take those traits on, friends. We shouldn't be acting like fools. And these are some of their traits. There's others, but we don't have time. Let's go on to the third one. We're right on schedule. We'll be on time. The third one is the scorner. The scorner. This person, on your sheet there, this person displays extreme contempt. Contempt. Contempt means to disdain that which is right. You've heard the phrase contempt of court. It's taking lightly something that should be given a very serious mind to. And it's just like, you know, contempt, that's contempt. Well, this scorner has extreme contempt. He believes his thoughts are superior to anything else. He makes a mock of that which is right. And he ridicules. He's just very contemptible. So let's see this guy here in Scripture. It's chapter 9. Your first blank there is 9:8. So chapter 9, verse 8. A scorner. Chapter 9, verse 8. Here we go. Here it says, reprove not a scorner. Why? Lest he hate thee. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love thee. Yeah, I'll just leave it there. I thought I saw another verse I was going to show you, but just there. So 9:8. Why not reprove a scorner? He'll hate thee. So in your blank there, we could put a scorner hates those that rebuke him. So that says a lot about it, isn't it? You can't correct him. You can't give him any constructive criticism. You can't say, let me say how you might could do this in a better way. Have you ever considered this? This person will just hate you. He doesn't want to hear what you have to say, and he'll diss you. He'll just flip you off, you know, hey, get out of my face. He's a scorner. And he does not take seriously those things that should be given weight to. It's just all, he mocks, he ridicules. And so he hates those that tries to rebuke him or correct him. Next one is chapter 13, verse 1. On your list, put 13:1. This is very similar to the one we just said, but 13:1 says, a wise son heareth his father's instruction, but a scorner heareth not rebuke. Okay, again, rebuke is a firm type of correction. And so this person will not hear rebuke. The first one, he hates those who rebukes him. This one's telling us he just won't even hear it. He doesn't want to hear it. And because he feels more superior, he thinks his ways are better, and he mocks you for what you think, and he has extreme contempt. So he will not even hear rebuke. The next one on your list is 14:6. 14:6. I find this to be interesting, this one. Chapter 14, verse 6 says this, a scorner seeketh wisdom. I have to say, not really. Because it goes on to say, and findeth it not. But knowledge is easy unto him that understandeth. Because, and we could spend a lot of time talking about this, but we won't, but because of his great extreme contempt, he may seek wisdom for all the wrong reasons, and therefore doesn't find it. You follow what I'm saying there? So even though it may seem, oh good, hey, the scorner is seeking after wisdom, maybe he's going to have a change of heart. Nah, I think he's searching for all the wrong reasons. And so he can't grasp it because it will elude him for those wrong reasons. And so on your sheet, you might just put, he cannot find wisdom. He seeks for it, but he cannot find it. Supposedly seeks for it. And then the last one is 15:12. 15:12. And I wish we could look at many more of these, but we just have to keep it to a certain limit here. 15:12 says, here we see this again. This is the third time now. The scorner loveth not one that reproveth him or rebukes him, right? But here's the part I want you to see. It goes on to say, neither will he go unto the wise. Neither will he go unto the wise. Now remember, he has extreme contempt. He thinks his ways are superior. He makes a mock at things that are good and right. Especially if it's in you and you try to rebuke him, he'll hate you. But listen to this. And you jot this down. He will not go to the wise for help. He will not go to the wise for help. Why? Because he's just not going to do it. He thinks his ways are superior. And he wouldn't want to be seen as needing help from anyone. And so he simply will not go to the wise for help. And that's a sad, sad commentary about that individual. So that's the scorner. So far we've seen the simple, we've seen the fool, now we've seen the scorner. That leaves us with one more individual. Who do you think that might be? The wise. The wise. And that, my friend, is what you and I ought to be striving to be. The wise. To be wise means properly having knowledge. That's one simple definition. There's others we could give, but that's really a simple one. On your sheet, I think we got a little definition here. Yeah. This person has the power of judging and discerning correctly. Now we've got a lot of blanks on this one, so we'll keep moving. He has the power of judging and discerning correctly, choosing laudable ends and the best means to accomplish them. That ought to be you and I. We ought to be seeking after knowledge or wisdom. We ought to be striving to be wise. The Bible instructs us to be wise. And James tells us, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. We can seek wisdom from God. The Bible says, he that winneth souls is wise. I'm not going to quote this one just right, but basically, he that's a companion of fools shall be foolish, but a companion of wise men shall be wise. And that's not a good quotation, but that's real basic paraphrase. But if we hang around wise people, some of that wisdom will actually rub off on us. Amen. And so it's why it's important to choose wise friends. So it's the power of judging and discerning correctly. Let's go to our first one's going to be 1:5. So we're going to speed up here a little bit because we've got to get through 9 of these now on this one. 1:5. And as we go through this now, put your spiritual antennas up particularly high, because we're talking about a wise individual, which is what we ought to desire to be. And so the Bible will teach us now. Here we're going to see what some traits of that wise individual. All we got to do is apply them and copy that and do like they're doing. And we too can be wise. So verse 5, a wise man, what? Will hear and will increase learning. And a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. And so this first one, he hears, he listens, he gets counsel. He hears, he listens, he gets counsel. Notice I said hears and listen. Two different things, right? You might be hearing me, but you might not be listening to me. So it's two different things. And so listen, when we read the Bible, read it out loud. Read it out loud so you can hear it. Let it go in. Not only is it going in your eye gate, but it's going in your ear gate. And you can hear the Word of God and you can act upon it. But also seek wise counsel. See, this wise person, he listens. When he comes to Bible study or he comes to preaching on Sunday, he's tuned in to what the preacher's saying. Why? Because he's a wise individual. He hears, he receives instruction. He hears, he listens, he obeys, he follows. He's being wise. Very important. Next one is 8:33. 8:33. Turn there. This one's very similar, but it says, hear instruction and be wise and refuse it not. So hear instruction and be wise. So that can be just general instruction. Here's instruction from somebody. If you're hearing it and listening to it and taking it on board, you're being wise at that point in time. If you're sitting in church and you're listening to whoever is preaching or teaching, and you're listening and you're taking it on board, you're being wise at that point in time. And I can't help but believe that God is smiling upon you because He sees His children acting in a wise manner, which is exactly what He wants you to do. Because it's forming your character. It's who you are. You want to be a wise individual. And that should be, wisdom should define your character. So this person, he hears instruction. The first one was he hears and listens. This one he hears particularly instruction. Now, this one's going to be good. Next one's 9:9. Remember a moment ago, we talked about the fool, he hated those who rebuked him? Well, look at this. Chapter 9, verse 9. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. Was that 9:9? Yeah, that's 9:9, but verse 8 is what I really want. Yeah, look at verse 8 too. Well, that's a good one too, but look at verse 8. Reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee, but rebuke a wise man. What happens? He will love thee. So, he loves them that rebukes him. Now, I don't know if you've encountered this, but I certainly have had it in my years of being in ministry. You know, you try to go up to someone and talk to them, and they give you one of these. Just who do you think you are? Because you're just trying to tell them something. You're just trying to give them a little bit of correction, maybe, or a little bit of, you know, hey, brother, I understand, you know, this is going on. You're trying to give them some direction and some correction. And they give you the who do you think you are routine. It's like, I happen to be he that watcheth over your soul as the pastor of this flock. Not this flock, but the one I pastored. That's who I am. That's who I am. It's not a guilt, it's not an ego trip, but it is the truth. The pastor is the one who careth, watcheth over and cares for the souls of the flock. Amen. So the scorner, he hates those that rebuke him, but the wise person, he might even say, you know what? I needed that. Thank you. Thank you, preacher. Thank you, brother. Thank you, sister. Thanks for pointing it out. You know what? You're right. And let me just go on to say that I haven't read my Bible in days. And I feel like, you know, I feel like you've come to me at the right time. I needed that. And I'm just going to accept that as a little kick in the pants, a little brotherly love kick in the pants. Thank you. I needed that. And I'm going to fix that. I appreciate that. Boy, have you run into anybody like that? That's how it ought to be, amen? But a wise person will actually love those that rebuke him. And that's a great trait. That is character. That's character. Next one's 10:8. Better keep moving here. 10:8. We saw this one earlier with the fool. But he was the second half. The first half concerns the wise person. It says, the wise in heart will receive commandments. And so simply, he receives commandments. Oh, I want to say it's John. Book of John, it says, Jesus said, my commandments aren't grievous. And so we ought to be willing to receive commandments. And I particularly scriptural commandments, I believe. Next one on your list is going to be 10:14. So same chapter, just a few verses down. 10:14 says, wise men lay up knowledge, but the mouth of the foolish is near destruction. There's another half, that second half is about fools again. We didn't see that. There's another verse about foolish, but we're looking at wise. What do? They lay up knowledge. They lay up knowledge. They're willing to learn. They want to learn Scripture. They want to learn what the Bible says. They want to learn how to go soul winning. They want to learn how to be a better Christian. They want to learn. You know, they're taking in knowledge, not for the sake of knowledge, but they're taking in. They want to learn. They lay up knowledge. The next one on your sheet is 12:15. 12:15. I hope you'll take the sheet home and look these verses up again in your own time and make a vow to yourself. Look, I want to be wise. This is the trait that I need. This is the trait that the Lord would have me to have. I don't want to be foolish. I don't want to be a scorner. I may be simple, but that can be fixed. So strive to be a wise individual. So where are we at? What did I say? 12:15, thank you. Okay, 12:15. The way of a fool I don't think we saw this one either. Here's one for the fool again. Is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. And so this person will hearken unto wise counsel. I never could figure out why an individual would come. I'm speaking about when I was pastoring a church. I'd have individuals come to me for counsel, but wouldn't do a single thing I said. And they walk out and I scratch my head, why did they even come? Too many times people want to go to the pastor or go for counsel. They're expecting the pastor to tell them what they want to hear. And sometimes the pastor tells them something completely different. And we need to be willing, listen now, be willing, be humble, and listen to the wise counsel. It may not be what you want to hear, but that probably has wisdom involved with it. And if it's the man of God, he probably is under the spirit, under the leadership of the Holy Spirit, and he's giving you, he's had years of experience, and he's seen how that road ends. You ever think about that? You know, preacher's probably seen just about every example of different, you know, somebody starts down this road, and they just watch that person go down that road and what the end result was. Then here you come and ask the preacher, hey, I was thinking about this or that, and suddenly they have a flashback of that person on that very road that you're talking about, and then the pastor says, well, you know, I wouldn't advise that because of A, B, and C, and 1, 2, and 3. Oh, really? Well, I don't know. I think that's what I should do. And then they come crawling back, oh, preacher, I shouldn't have done that. Yes, well, told you. I've watched them go down that road before, and I know the end. So listen to counsel. Wise counsel is good. Next one on your list is 13:1. I'm trying to speed up now because I see it's time to quit. 13:1. I think we saw this before, too. Yeah, we saw the scorners the second half, but look. A wise son heareth his father's instruction. And that's it. He hears his father's instruction. I'm so glad I have a son that hears his father's instruction. He listens to what I say. He values what I say. And he usually does what I say. Not that I boss him around and stuff, but I try to lead him and guide him. And he's very pliable. And I certainly appreciate that, and I thank the Lord for it. But he listens, and so in that regard, my son's being wise. Why? He's hearing his father's instruction. And we ought to do the same. Sometimes our fathers may be gone, but we have this Heavenly Father. I want to hear my father's instruction. Amen. Next one on your list is 13:20. Oh, this is one I was trying to quote earlier. 13:20. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise. Well, that's easy, isn't it? I just have to choose out some wise people to hang out with, and I'll be wise too, because I'll pick their brain, and I'll listen to their counsel, and I'll listen to their input, and I'll listen to what they have to say, and I'll even listen if they try to rebuke me, and I'll love them for it. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. I don't know how it can be much more clear. That's very plain, very easy to understand. Amen. So this person has good companions. You might write that down, good companions. And then lastly, 14:16. 14:16. Remember earlier the simple ran towards the evil? Remember that one? We'll look at this one. 14:16. A wise man feareth and what? Departeth from evil. But the fool rageth and is confident. There's another about the fool. So here, this person, he fears and departs from evil. He departs from evil. Okay, well, let's wrap it up. Those are our four individuals that are mentioned in the book of Proverbs. They're mentioned throughout the book. There's lots of contrast with the fool and the wise, but the scorner and the simple are mentioned a lot too. But let me say this, being simple, I kind of alluded to this already, but being simple is not always a bad thing if you're willing to learn. Because often if you come out of the world and you just get saved, you are simple. And it's going to be a process, but you can, and you need to be willing to learn. So that can change. But listen to this. But when the simple refuse to learn, listen. When the simple refuse to learn, they become fools. And when a fool refuses to turn from being a fool, then eventually he becomes a scorner. So there's a progression if we don't change the way. So a simple person can become a fool, and if a fool doesn't change, he can become a scorner. But we, in this room, we want to be wise. Now, what do we do with what we just said tonight? And this is how we'll close. Just a few things here. And this statement I'm going to make right here will cut a little bit, but here's the truth. If we're honest with ourselves, we would have to say that we see characteristics of a simple, a fool, or a scorner in ourselves to some degree. And if that be the case, then we must do what Proverbs 1:21 tells us. We need to go there now. Proverbs 1:21, or 22 rather. Actually, we'll start reading in verse 20. Now, before we go there, let me just, that was a tough statement to make, but if I'm honest with Kelly Choma, sometimes I may see in myself traits of the simple or the foolish or the scorner in me. Why? Because I'm human. Why else? Because I'm sinful. I have a corrupt nature. Thank God for the new nature, but this old one's still there. And so, and why else? Yeah, I'm a sinner, I'm human, what else? I'm not perfect. Neither are you. So don't start to say, now, preacher, I'm wise all the time. You're a wise guy, all right, yeah. So truly, if we're honest, to say, yeah, sometimes I believe whatever they tell me. Or sometimes I get mad when people correct me. Or, all those things we went through. So, here's what we need to do. Let's start reading in verse 20. Wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief place of concourse, in the openings of the gates. In the city she uttereth her words, saying, how long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. All three are listed right there in that same verse. Then it gives this instruction. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. Because I have called and ye refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. But you have set at naught all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. So let's close with these last things here. So what is the solution according to those verses? Number one, turn at God's reproof. That's in verse 23. He said, turn you at my reproof. That's his instruction. You need to turn when I reprove you. You need to change. Number two, stop refusing God's voice. Verse 24. Look what it says. Because I have called, and what? Ye refused. That's a bad state to be in. So stop refusing God's voice. Number three, agree with God. Agree with God. Interesting, it says, verse 24 says, I have called and you refuse. Look at the next part. I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. So it's like God saying, look, I stretched out my hand to you and you just ignored it. So what we're saying now is take God's hand. And when you take His hand, you are in agreement with Him. And And it's a sign of being in agreement with God when you take His hand there. Stop refusing it. Agree with Him. Number four, take God's counsel. Verse 25, it says, "You have set at naught," in other words, "you set aside all my counsel and would none of my reproof." So the opposite of that would be then to take God's counsel. It is always correct. It is always correct. And we are finished.